Good evening and welcome to SIPA Gallery and to the opening reception for Speak Truth to Power and the 6th SIPA Biennial Auction Exhibition. First, I would like to thank and welcome our honored guest and keynote speaker, Kerry Kennedy Cuomo. And you've put together a very compelling exhibition and publication of portraits of 50 human rights defenders by Pulitzer Prize honored photographer Eddie Adams. And we are pleased to be able to present Speak Truth to Power here at SIPA Gallery. Thank you very much. There are several people to thank for helping us bring this exhibit to Buffalo, New York. First of all, Sam Hoyt, for making this possible and bringing this project to my attention. Umbridge Editions, for their unbelievable help in and understanding that SIPA Gallery has suffered immense funding cuts this year. They helped to facilitate underwriting for this exhibition and tonight's reception. I'm indebted to Fleet Bank for stepping in and covering the rental, the shipping, and all of the reception costs. Thank you, Fleet Bank. Oh, I should point out their banner up on the third floor. So I also want to thank Dr. Ann Berthoff and Empire State College for partnering with us to make this presentation possible. Thank you. Thank you, Empire State College. Now, for those who are not familiar with SIPA Gallery, we strive to bring you contemporary photo-related arts that are issue-oriented and from cultural positions that are underrepresented in cultural spaces. We also have an award-winning education program and department bringing photography and digital arts education opportunities to the youth of Western New York. I hope your introduction to SIPA Gallery will compel you to return and to get involved. Something I'd like to address is that SIPA Gallery is in a very public space. It's actually a very beautiful public space, too, the Market Arcade Complex, and it remains free and open to the public 7 days a week. This is not a museum where people have to pay to get in, and it's important for the people of Western New York to have open access to art, and especially to this exhibition and the issues around human rights throughout the world. There's something in this exhibition that'll touch everyone's lives. In order for SIPA Gallery to remain one of the most significant photo-related contemporary art centers in the nation, your support is paramount. We cannot do this on our own, especially with the degree of funding cuts we have experienced. I urge you to become at least a member and to make a donation to SIPA Gallery, to volunteer, to help out, get your children involved in any way possible. We need your support. And we encourage your support in terms of just being involved, because it is a great place, and once again, not enough people know about it. Tonight we are celebrating not only the opening of Speak Truth to Power, but also SIPA Gallery's 6th Biennial Photography Auction Preview Exhibition. The exhibition remains on view until June 1st, the day of the live auction. The SIPA auction is the only professional live auction in Western New York and features former Christie's auctioneer Dale Stoltz. It is a wonderful opportunity to purchase contemporary art and to support SIPA Gallery at the same time. This year we have 148 artworks from over 120 regional, national, and international artists. All of the work has been generously donated by the artists and by some of the collectors. And this year it is more important than ever to support SIPA's auction so that we may continue to bring outstanding art exhibitions like Speak Truth to Power to this venue and to keep it free so that all people have an opportunity to experience it. Speak Truth to Power exhibition begins in the SIPA's first floor, what we call the Flux Gallery. It continues onto the second floor, the upper gallery, and then in the Virginia Weiss Gallery of Empire State College on the third floor. The SIPA auction exhibition begins on the second floor passageway gallery and continues in the underground in the basement, which you can access through the elevator or the stairs. Finally, I would like to acknowledge the dedication and hard work of the SIPA staff and volunteers in bringing these two exhibitions to fruition. They've worked very hard. We have had to lay off a number of people, so we're really down to a skeleton crew, and they worked and worked very hard. So I would like a round of applause for the staff of SIPA Gallery. Now I'd like to invite Dr. Ann Bertoff, Director and Dean of the Niagara Frontier Center of Empire State College, to say a few words. Please welcome Dr. Ann Bertoff.
Thank you, Lawrence. As Lawrence has indicated, I'm Ann Bertoff, Dean of the Niagara Frontier Center of Empire State College. Empire State students are, for the most part, working adults for whom the scheduled demands of traditional academia simply won't work. Working one-on-one with a faculty advisor, they design individual degree plans that take advantage of their prior college-level learning, whether it was gained in a classroom, on the job, in the community, in the library, in the studio. And they build programs in a broad range of subject areas, from business to human development to the arts. They earn Empire State College credits primarily through guided independent study, a method that enables the flexibility required by busy adult learners. It's a pleasure to join CEPA in welcoming you to the Market Arcade building for tonight's exciting opening. A few years ago, a generous alumnus of Empire State, Virginia Weiss, left us a bequest, and it seemed appropriate to honor her in some permanent way. As a non-traditional institution without walls, we don't own buildings which can assume the names of our friends and benefactors, so we decided to establish a gallery in our third floor space, naming it in honor of Ms. Weiss. The gallery is a community resource. Our own students have exhibited there, and other artists within the community, including students of other institutions, where gallery space is at a premium. With CEPA as our neighbor, the collaboration between our two galleries was nearly inevitable, and it has been and promises to continue to be mutually beneficial. One tenet of the ESC mission focuses on the use of the community as a learning resource for our students. So this partnership makes lots of sense. Tonight's wonderful event is our most ambitious joint effort to date. I'm thrilled that so many of you are here to salute these human rights defenders who are we, changing our world. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anne. I would like now to welcome to the podium Dee Ellis, who is the representative of Fleet Community Foundation here in Buffalo. Please, a warm welcome.
Good evening, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm very pleased here tonight to represent Fleet and our support for this powerful initiative. We believe that now, more than ever, it is fitting that we honor those who are fighting for humanity rights in our world. The stories of these defenders are stories not just of survivors, but of leaders in the fight against injustice. The way in which these people have survived everything from rape, torture, and murder of loved ones is truly remarkable. For many of us, going on with our lives after going through just one of these experiences would be a challenge. Turning these experiences into motivational forces to change the world are stunning accomplishments. Brilliant statements of courage appear throughout Carrie Kennedy Como's book. One example I'd like to share with you is a statement of Sejin Çerikoğlu of Turkey when he said, and I quote, "The struggle for human rights is as old as being human beings themselves. And I believe that if we do not stand up against injustice, nobody can help us. It's only people themselves who can change situations. To live under conditions in which there is no justice is worse than dying. So I do what I do to ensure a better future," end quote. We are proud to be associated with this program with such high principles and noble visions as speak truth to power. Giving back to the communities in which we serve is a major priority for Fleet. And by helping speak truth to power to do the same for the world's community is an honor. Thank you.
Now, a man who needs no introduction, Sam Hoyt.
Thank you, Lawrence. Good evening, everybody. It's great to be here at SEPA, and I'm thrilled that I was able to identify some resources to bring this great show and exhibit to the city of Buffalo. We are known, I think we know in this community, the extraordinary wealth of arts and cultural organizations that exist here. It's one of our greatest assets, no doubt. But when we think about the arts and cultural community in Buffalo, often we think about the Albright Knox Art Gallery. Often we think about the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra. And we often forget the magnificent smaller organizations that exist that really add so much to the life and the strength of this great community. Many people don't know that SEPA Gallery is an internationally recognized center for the arts. And it's run by Lawrence Brose. It's run, yes. That happens in no small part because it's got an extraordinarily talented staff at the top with Lawrence and beyond. It's got a dedicated board of directors, and thank you for what you do. We need to continue to support the arts. We're suffering through some pretty difficult times where some bad decisions have been made of late where the arts are suffering because of economics. That's not a very sound long-term investment as far as I'm concerned. We all need to step up and do what we can. Lawrence, if I'm not officially a member, I pledge today to become a member and encourage everyone else to as well. Now, the reason I was brought up here is that I have the privilege to introduce our honored guest. Let me just say that anyone who has visited my office in Buffalo or in Albany knows that I have photographs throughout the office, and they're largely of politicians and leaders who I admire and have come to pay homage to over the years. People like Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, and many, many others, Martin Luther King. But there are also photos of three of my political heroes and role models. They are my father, Kerry Kennedy Cuomo's father, and her father-in-law. As I have come to know Kerry Kennedy Cuomo, she is quickly becoming heroic in my eyes as well, and in the eyes of many, many others. As a fellow child of an accomplished public official, I understand the sense of social responsibility that Kerry has demonstrated throughout her career. We learn from the experience of our parents about the responsible use of power, government, and leadership. Perhaps because that ideal was ingrained so strongly in Kerry's mind, she has devoted her life and career to exposing the dark side of power. Speak the Truth to Power is an expression of Kerry's life work, but her career as a human rights advocate spans more than 20 years. Kerry Kennedy Cuomo started working in the field of human rights in 1981, when she investigated abuses committed by U.S. immigration officials against refugees from El Salvador. Since then, her life has been devoted to the vindication of equal justice and to the promotion and protection of basic rights and to the preservation of the rule of law. She has led over 40 human rights delegations to over 30 countries. At a time of diminished idealism and growing cynicism about public service, her life and lectures are testaments to the commitment to the basic values of human rights. I'd like to add a personal note as well, and that is, I'm especially pleased to be introducing Kerry tonight, in part because she's become a good friend, as has her husband, Andrew Cuomo, who I might add will probably be the next governor of the state of New York. Not probably, definitely. She's a great lady and a wonderful, wonderful human rights advocate and also a good friend. Ladies and gentlemen, Kerry Kennedy Cuomo.
Thank you, Sam. Sam has been such a wonderful friend to my husband and I and to the SEPA Gallery and to this photo exhibit. I want to thank you for making this photo exhibit possible, Sam. And a great leader for Buffalo, so let's give him a round of applause.
I also want to thank Lawrence Rose, who worked so hard on this exhibit to make it possible. And the SIPA Gallery is one of those real jewels that I think that many people don't know about, maybe don't appreciate, but which really enrich the city and enrich all of our lives. So thank you to SIPA and Lawrence. Thank you as well to James Rolls, who's here as the president of the board of directors of SIPA. I also want to thank Dr. Ann Berthoff, who's the director of the Niagara Frontier Center in the Empire State College, who spoke earlier. Needy Ellis, Fleet. Fleet has underwritten the photo exhibit across New York State and throughout New England, and it wouldn't be possible without Fleet's support. And Needy was so personal and wonderful about this. And thanks for actually reading the book, Needy, wherever you are. Thank you. I also want to thank Steve Pigeon, who has also been a tremendous friend and a wonderful leader for the city of Buffalo. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so grateful to all of you for coming out tonight and for looking at the photo exhibit. Just so you know, it starts here and it goes up to the second floor and it goes up to the third floor, so make sure you make your way around the exhibit. The exhibit is part of the outgrowth of a book that I wrote called Speak Truth to Power, and it's interviews with human rights defenders around the world. People like Elie Wiesel, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Archbishop Tutu, others. Most of the people in the book are not well known beyond the borders of their countries, but they are all the heroes of today. They're the Martin Luther Kings and Elizabeth Cady Stantons of their countries. They're people who stand up to government oppression, who face imprisonment and torture and death for basic rights most of us are lucky enough to take for granted. The right to speak about human rights in a gallery like this, the right to participate in the economic and social and political decisions that affect their lives. I spent 2.5 years traveling around the world interviewing these heroes, and what started out really as a survey of the human rights situation around the world, looking at torture, bride burning, honor killings, sexual trafficking, other types of human rights abuses, quickly became a spiritual journey about the power of the human spirit in the face of extraordinary circumstance. And what started out again as looking at the repression became much more of a look at the resistance. Instead of looking at the imprisonment of people, it became about looking at the freedom and the emancipation of the human spirit. And that's what this book is, that's what this exhibit is. Let me just give you a few examples. I talked to Elie Wiesel, who wrote Night, who of course won the Nobel Peace Prize and has survived the Holocaust. And I asked him about the future and what his dream for the future is. And he said, "My dream for the future is that your children don't have my past." And I talked to Archbishop Tutu, who has seen so much as the head of the Truth Commission in South Africa, has seen and witnessed so much repression and so much suffering and cruelty. And I asked him about his vision, and he said, "You know, we don't have a God who says, 'Gotcha.' We have a God who lifts us up and dusts us off and tells us to try it again." And that, to me, really captures the spirit and the optimism
of the human rights defenders throughout the book and throughout the photo exhibit. I want to tell you about one other person in the exhibit, a woman called Digna Ochoa. And Digna Ochoa was the leading human rights defender in Mexico. And she is a woman and a nun and pure Indian and a lawyer. She's the first person in her, not only her family, but her community to graduate from high school or college or become a professional. And she told me this story. I asked her how a typical human rights case works. And she said, well, a woman came to our offices a few weeks ago and told us that her husband had been disappeared. He had been kidnapped by security forces. And that they believed he was being held at a military hospital not far away. So Digna said, I went to the military hospital, but they wouldn't let me in. So she said she waited outside the door until there was a shift change in the guards, and she walked past the guards. And she said she walked up to the room where this man was being held, and there was a nurse standing outside the door. And the nurse said, you can't go in there. I can't even go in there. The disappeared man is in there. So she said, well, I'm going in anyway. And if anything happens to me, here's my card. Call this number. And she said that she was terrified because she knew on the other side of the door would not only be her potential client, but also some of the people who had abused him so badly that he had to be hospitalized. So she said she opened the door, and with all of the authority she could muster, she said, you get out of here right now. This is my client, and I'm his lawyer, and I get 5 minutes alone with him. And they left. So she got the 5 minutes alone, she explained who she was, and she signed him up as a client, and she said she felt very good because now she could go get a habeas corpus decree from a judge. So she said she was walking down the hall, around the corner came the two guards, and they were obviously angry, having been reprimanded by their sergeant for leaving their post. And she said they both came to attack her. I said, what did you do? She said, I didn't know what to do, so I just assumed the attack position. Hi! She said, I don't know karate. I think I saw it in the movie somewhere. And the two were so taken aback that this woman and this nun was assuming the attack position that they looked in confusion and they sort of turned around and walked away again. And it gave her a chance to pull herself together and get out of there. And I asked her afterward to reflect on that moment. And I asked her, where at a time like that do you get the courage to confront guards when you know what the consequences are? And what she said surprised me. I'm not sure what I expected, but you have to imagine Digna was, she was a nun, and so she had a very, sort of plain, very Victorian sort of looking clothing on, and she always had that cross hanging down right in front, and she spoke very quietly like this. Very demurely. So I think I was expecting something about love or Jesus or forgiveness. And what she said surprised me. She said, you know, I'm just so angry. I think about what these people have done to me and my community and my country, and it makes me so furious. And I gather up all that rage, and it gives me this incredible sense of calm with which I can confront anyone. And it reminded me of the ancient pyramids, which were built by slaves. And there's graffiti on them that says, no one was angry enough to speak out. And I think what Digna's message was is that we have to be angry enough to speak out when we see injustice in our society. We've got to stand up when we see abuses of human rights. And that kind of vision, that kind of determination, and that kind of taking our anger and outrage and directing it in a positive way to create change in society is what all of these
all of these human rights defenders do, and there are lessons in there that we can learn, not only for confronting human rights abuses around the world, but indeed for changing our own community. I want to thank you again for coming, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Please enjoy and please come back. Thank you.